time for the Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ben Buckman. Say pods. You never know who's going to show up to the tailgate. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the station that says what Austin sports fans are thinking. The Horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that.
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. A beautiful Saturday morning here in the capital city. Lots going on today. We got Ben Buckman in the house. We got Casey Studdard with us for one more segment, I believe.
Yeah, I'll be here in 10 minutes.
TikTok Ty in the box. Jamie's outside. He'll be coming back in here in a little bit. We're joined right now in studio. Dimitri Julius, good morning.
Good morning, Johnny.
How are you?
Pleasure. I'm
fantastic.
It's beautiful outside. Got that Texas win in my system.
Hell yeah.
Feeling good about that.
How you feel about Rodney Terry as the head basketball coach?
Man, Coach RT's earned this thing.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
That we've been talking about this back and forth. I just, you know, best showing since 08. This guy's the real deal.
I agree.
I'm excited.
He's got the kids excited. They're playing good. They're playing great defense, which haven't seen a lot of that consistently throughout the year. But Rodney's got these guys playing.
Got them fired up, man. I mean, you look at the landscape. This is there for the taking, you know?
Correct.
We show up.
We're
we
the highest. Texas is the highest rated seed still out there.
Now, are you a UT fan?
Huge UT fan.
Really?
So I'm a California kid. Yep. Don't hate me out there, but I made Austin my home 17 years ago, right?
Boom.
When I moved here, I decided, you know, we're going full Texas.
Fair.
So with the exception of the Dodgers, my youngest son's named Jackie Robinson.
All right.
Okay. I had to, oldest is named Nolan. We got a chance to meet him. But no, committed.
See, I met his sons. I haven't met Nolan. That's the one I want to meet too.
Oh, Reese Reed, they're dope. A legend.
Great
and
guys.
Every bit is humble and just as kind as you would expect. So
was here, funny story. My wife's like best friend, her family bought one of his original first ranches, and there's this oak tree like that Nolan used to sit in front of. I mean, this oak tree is every bit around as this table.
Just
like
massive.
I mean, it's probably take six or seven of me locking arms, probably like six of us to get around it. Six or seven of us, you know, to all lock arms.
Is there a bunch of just like baseball marks on the tree?
No,
was he throwing at it?
No, it's just that tree is so big and so old. You look at it and you're like, the history, how long this tree's been here. You know what I'm saying? It's freaking massive. Like the limbs are the size of the trees out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the trunks of the, you know what I mean? So But that was Nolan Ryan's old ranch that they bought, and that was his tree. And like when they bought it, like that was like the story that he was like, "This is my tree. Like I used to sit in front of here. There's still like his bench right there in front of it. And he's like, I just look at this tree and think about it. I mean, because it's like, you know, it's like they said the tree's over, I don't know, 400 years or something crazy
easily.
Like that.
Probably,
yeah. Something crazy, like, I don't know, something nuts like that. I can't remember how old
Comanche
it was.
Used to go around that one.
I mean, yeah, like before that. You know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. So it's, you know, 400 or 500 years. It's nuts. So, but it's just nice. My Nolan story. I was like, that's pretty cool. So I sat there. I was like,
Did you feel the Nolan energy coming out?
Yeah,
off the tree?
I did. Nolan just has energy when you talk about him.
Did you get up and all of a sudden start throwing just heaters, 99 mile an hour heaters?
I didn't have the control, though. I didn't have the control.
So, I got to give you all my Nolan story real quick. So, his sons are business partners at the company he was just working for, Icon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Icon. They heard that I had named my oldest son Nolan. So, he's getting ready to premiere the film out at South by Southwest last year. And they're like, oh, come on by. You know, the family's got a couple of tickets for y'all. We're like, that's the dopest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We show up. We get in line, right? South by. It's crazy out there. And they're like, oh, Mr. Julius, right this way. I'm getting diverted away from the regular line that's got like 200-300 people in it. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm feeling all right about this.
Yeah.
They usher us to like the side of the theater. We go upstairs. It's the entire Ryan family. I'm like four generations of Ryans.
Wow.
We're shaking hands. Like, everybody's in a suit. This is a movie premiere. Yeah. I'm wearing my Nolan Ryan 34. My wife's got her jersey on. We're in front of the man himself and his wife. We're shaking hands. They're doing photo ops.
You're like, oh, I didn't know this premiere like that.
Well, I thought we were just going to be sitting in GP with the rest of the people. And I was happy with that.
Yeah.
So they say, okay, you know, we take the photos. We walk in. I'm watching the movie. This is the first time Nolan's seen the full cut of the film. I'm like four seats down from him watching his own movie for the wow. first time. I was just like, this is legendary. Yeah, this awesome. Is never going away.
That is legendary.
And they're, and like you said, Reed, Reese, the whole family, just the nicest people in the world. Really good. They do a great job up there at with the Express.
Only thing is you know, their daughters go to A&M.
Yeah.
You know, all their kids go to A&M. Makes you want to, yeah.
Well, Reed, and Reese are, Reed and Reese are Horned Frogs.
Oh, that's why you're on the list.
Damn right. That's why you're on the list. Well, I mean, I remember my freshman year at TCU, Nolan was a volunteer coach for TCU.
That's pretty cool.
That's wild.
Did you go over there and just stare at him?
Yes.
I would have done the same thing.
I mean, we would go over there, like, baseball games and just sit there and be like, that's Nolan Ryan right there wearing a TCU jersey. That is
Can
awesome.
You warm up the catcher, Nolan? Just give me a couple, you know?
Yeah. Still probably wearing him out.
I used to watch there's this like pitching video of his pitching coach with Randy Johnson, and Randy Johnson's watching Nolan throw and like this balance and everything like that. And you start looking at it's just he's like a machine, just everything was the same, just you know what I mean? But that's just repetition. And that's what these kids
muscle
a lot memory. Of these a lot of these kids these days don't understand. Like to become a master is 10,000 hours.
Mechanics.
Yeah.
It's gotta be right.
To become a master. And look who's and you think you've done so much as a kid. But look who's all mastered it. I didn't master football. I did pretty damn good, but I didn't master it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I got close, but I didn't master it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't put myself on that level. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, people that mastered it, like Ed Reed, Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Paul Amalu.
Paul Amalu. God, he was
so Jerry Rice.
You know, these type of guys, you know what I mean?
Jeff Saturday.
Tom Brady. These guys, you know what I mean? Peyton Manning's like... They've mastered their craft.
They did it enough where they can't get it wrong. Isn't that what it is? Like professionals, you know, amateurs, you practice until you don't get it wrong. Professionals practice until they can't get it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
It's second nature.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it goes for military as well. It's, you know, because that's the same thing. It's like
great segue into Dimitri here.
But I mean, but that's yeah. But that's my whole. That's why I love military so much is because it is a team sport, and you have to do a lot of things. Repetition to get right. Like, I can't. Like, how many rounds do y'all shoot? Probably 10,000 rounds before you even.
Oh,
just
goodness.
So the gun's like nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, range weekend is crazy. And I love that you started with how many rounds do you put through the weapon. That's tertiary. The first thing is like, clean that weapon, know every single piece of it.
Yeah.
You can take that thing apart in your sleep. You can reassemble it like on a moment's notice. It's full indoctrination into the whole thing. By the time you shoot that thing, you're already an expert.
Yeah.
Your responsibility is to make sure that it's ready to go.
And that you're steady.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you said you went went Hollywood? Is that I'm learning about the terms of Marines here. A Hollywood Marine.
Yeah, so I joined the Marine Corps and my silly butt decided to put my hand in the air and volunteer to go to Parris Island, which is a very different experience. For those of you who don't know, basically you hike mountains on the West Coast. That is not super fun, but on the East Coast, you get sand fleas, you get mosquitoes, you get a whole different brand of pain. And I selected that one because my dad did it, and it was cool, but worst best decision of my life.
Did they were you got harsh more a little bit harsh because your dad was who he was?
Yeah, so my dad had a bit of a reputation for being kind of hard nosed. He served 30 years. You know, he had made his bones by being that guy.
Yeah.
So when people found out that his kid was joining and they were in a position of power, I paid for it in a lot of really unique ways. It was great, though.
Dad.
It got me ready for
your
what
dad
was to
stepped
come.
On my
for
back sure. and pushed my face in the mud. Now it's your turn.
There you go. But no, it prepares you for what the job was, and the job wasn't going to be easy, so it worked out.
So yeah. how did you eventually get down to Austin?
Man, this is a story. So I went to TCU.
That's right, yeah.
I spent the year on campus in the big purple dot out there.
But what happened? He didn't stay there. He left.
So I was living in DFW. I had gotten into Texas. I was waitlisted, so I was going to UTA. Hating life, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Just wanting to be in Austin and being stuck in Arlington is a very different thing. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm bopping around taking these classes waiting for next year. I'll just join the Marine Corps Reserves, like, you know, make college free, do all the things. By the way, both my parents served, and they were like, stay far, far away from this. Like, we just want you to go to school. So I do that. Conflicts kick up. Those you know, reserve orders turn to real orders. So I get stationed out in California. I'm getting ready to do the deal. But the woman I was dating at the time, who's now my partner, Was like, I'm going to St. Ed's. I'm moving to Austin. I don't know what you got going on. You're doing a lot of crazy stuff over there. So I'm in California. She's here. And I'm like, I got to figure out a way to get back.
Right.
So my whole first enlistment, we're still chopping it up, making things happen. And I never asked my old man for a favor once in my life. He retired, dead, gone from the Marine Corps. They do this thing called a monitor. It's basically like, imagine like the guy behind the curtain that controls where everybody goes. My dad's friends with this guy. I'm like, hey, Pop, I don't care what I do. I need to get to Texas. Like, San Antonio would be great. Killeen would be better. If you could get me to Austin, perfect. I get a call 48 hours later. You got to change your MOS. You got to pack a bag and got ready to get ready to move now. You're going to go to Aberdeen first, change your MOS. You're going to be a small arms repair guy. So I'm talking about like 81s, 40 Gulfs, big weapons.
Right.
You're going to do that, and then you're going to get stationed at Camp Mabry. So I spent 3 years
at
Camp
Mabry.
Finishing out my Marine Corps year. I did 8, got out. Came to St. Ed's, graduated, and Austin's been home ever since.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We're glad to have you. You've been working over at Icon, doing a lot of the 3D printing, finding great solutions for housing. That's kind of what, you know, the direction that Icon's taking with 3D printed homes. Tell us a little bit about your involvement there.
Absolutely, man. It was my life's pleasure to get a chance to work with, I think, probably the most transformational team I've ever gotten a chance to work with. I was employee number one over at Icon, and the whole mission there was to develop a technology that was going to make housing more affordable and more resilient. No surprises to anyone here. Casey, obviously, you spent some time in Houston. The impact of these storms changes people's lives forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, knock down a house. FEMA comes in. They make an assessment. They give you a check. They make you rebuild the same house in the same spot. Fast forward a year or two later, that house comes back down again with the next more powerful storm. So we started thinking about ways to utilize concrete materials to make more resilient housing that could be built faster, cheaper, with more design freedom, and gave people their dignity back sooner rather than later. Yeah. So we've been doing that here, founded right here in Austin, Texas, been in operations for nearly 5 years now, building the world's first 3D printed neighborhood up in Georgetown.
Yeah, and I heard about that.
Heck yeah, you got to come check it out.
Lennar Homes,
shout out. Great partnership. Shout out. Come on now. They're just helping us do amazing things. And been working with a lot of great nonprofits here, Mobile Loaves and Fishes,
Alan Grant
and that team at Community First.
Hell yeah.
Working with teams like New Story, bringing these sorts of resilient housing projects to different places in the world. So it's been an incredible honor, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me that we've not been able to find another better way to build a house, and especially when you're going up against the elements, against hurricanes, against everything. I mean, especially Gulf Coast, all that. Like, it doesn't make sense to keep rebuilding that same house. So let's find a product that we can build that will withstand the heat, it withstand the wind, withstand the rain and the floods and all that.
Sometimes innovation is stifled because we truly don't have the answer. Other times innovation is stifled because the people that are making all the money are making all the decisions. Rectilinear houses, flat packed houses, all these sorts of things that we're used to seeing benefits the $1.2 trillion industry. So
right. We're
here to shake it up. We know we're winning
shaking
when we start
up.
Pissing people off.
I love a little shake up.
There you
I
go.
Like a little.
And you're a big shoe guy.
Oh, man. You know,
I mean, you got the button or the pin.
A little bit of light work here.
I saw the kicks when he walked in.
You and Buck were going to be close friends, tight friends.
I thought I was going to wear a slick pair of kicks.
You are. You're clean.
Yeah, but those SBs are pretty
sick. Those are cute, man. What are you talking about?
They're cute compared to what he's got on.
Nah, no disrespect. Everybody comes with it.
What got you into shoes?
Oh, man. I'm a poor kid from South Central Los Angeles. Everybody that was anybody had the J's on, and I could look at them. I could see them, but we couldn't afford them. So when I got the opportunity to start making it a thing, man, I started bringing them in. So, man, my wife is a patient human. I think I got like 400 pairs of shoes.
I'm just being real with you. You got a Foot Locker.
Ben's got shoes like just sitting in like a room that have been there for like 6 months, like just boxes and boxes of shoes. I do not understand. You got it's an addiction.
Dimitri has the same thing.
Okay, I've got an addiction, but it's an asset class, and that's the thing that people need to understand.
Yes.
Rare sneaker collection is not just some.
So you're not aware. You're more of a like, okay. This is a $1,000 pair of shoes.
I'm both.
All day.
Right?
I
like,
got you.
Yep. I shouldn't wear everything that I wear, but but I love it though. So y'all go get this work.
But when you do,
you know
it's
what I
like,
mean?
Damn.
Yeah. So the fun part about that is, I'm a little bit addicted, but through good relationships, some blessings, and a little bit of work, one of your teammates, Kenny Vaccaro and his great team, are working on a project called Connect. It's a high-end sneaker boutique that's coming in on Congress right next to By George and Perla's, man. So we're excited about that, too.
Yeah, no, those are nice. There's another one. I did some – one of our other buddies owns up in the Domain.
Oh, Kicking It.
Kicking It, yeah.
Great guys. They do a lot of community work. Oh, I forgot who owns that one specifically.
Is that Vaccaro in that one, too?
I think Vaccaro's in that one, too.
I don't know, I can't remember. It was somebody's in that one. But that one's – yeah, I was sponsored by Nike, so all I had was –
That's a big flex.
So all I had was – all I bought was Air Force Ones, size 14.
Please tell me you still have AF1s.
Yes.
I got like a lot, but they're ugly now.
That's what.
Even better.
Casey's got like grass stains from mowing the lawn in them.
Dude, those shoes.
I got Air Force One. I got probably 10 pair at the house.
Let's do a charity thing. Let's get you to sign something. Let's do a thing.
They're dirty as hell.
Perfect.
Though. Why?
Because it's you.
Like those old shoes.
Because it's you.
No, see that's. But that's all.
Come on, stud.
But that's all I ever. I bought those shoes because those are the only white shoes I like with jeans.
I mean, they look great, right?
So those are the only ones. Yeah.
He said I got multiple.
Anytime I went anywhere in Houston, I was like, "Y'all got 14s." Yeah, let me get two pairs. I mean, whatever you got, I need the 14s. And I'll get all the.
I'm a size 13, so I feel your pain. They're hard to come by.
Hey, come by the house. I got a few pairs for you, bud.
There you go.
Give me two per.
Now, there's also, I think, is it Jeremy Hills that's got the new shoe that's kind of like the
cane shoe?
The UFU?
Yeah, it's so he's competing in that space. I think he's the largest growing shoe in that market space right now. It's a recovery shoe. And they're doing a lot of fantastic things. They've got some great university signings. He's working with Coach Akina over at Arizona.
Yeah. I tried to get a hold of Jeremy for the last couple of months. Hasn't called me back. I'm getting big time.
Like, buddy.
Is he big timing you?
Buckman and Jeremy. Yeah.
Is he big timing you?
He woke, hasn't called. I even talked to his brother, Tony. I was like, he goes, man, I can't even get a hold of him sometimes.
Brandon, Jeremy, they run like a squad. That's like a mob.
Next time you talk to Jeremy, say, hey, go look at your messages. Stuttered said, call his ass.
Ooh. Hey, Jay Hills, if you're out there, call in.
But I got something for him. Like, I'm not, you know, I got something for him. I got this new water out called Hydor.
Hey, let's do it.
I'll talk to you about it. It's dope.
No, they're doing big things over there with the Collective Gym. Obviously, the Cane Shoe. Them and that team are incredible. Obviously, they got some combine athletes. Our boy Bijan. You know, they're really making stuff happen.
PJ Tucker has houses all over the United States just for his shoes.
Who's that, PJ Tucker?
Yeah.
He's the king.
He started.
He's the king.
How many pairs of shoes does PJ Tucker have?
Thousands.
Are you kidding me? PJ Tucker has shoes you can't even get.
PJ Tucker has shoes that Nike are like, how do you have this?
Yes. By the way, so.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. PJ.
Well, that's dope to have a pair of shoes like that, though. I mean, I understand being in the game for like that type of shoe.
Right. Yeah, that's wild.
How do you have this shoe? Well, the list is long. Distinguished, baby.
PJ, Talent Goose. Shoe game. That's a real shoe game.
That's just having enough liquid to be like, well, here's 20 grand.
He's pretty much. Doesn't he have his own store in Houston?
I think he's got a couple shops now. He's doing some work with it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, PJ Tucker.
Yeah. The shoe guy.
Well, hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate. We'll be right back.
Give me two per.
I need two per.
So long. Good morning, Austin, Texas. Coming into an Austinite song. Did you guys know that Nelly was born in Austin, Texas?
That's true. During the football season. Yeah. Johnny made the comment.
Yeah, he did a show over at the 40 Acres before the Alabama game.
I know it was one of the game day games, so I think you're right.
Yeah, it was Alabama, and he came in and, you know.
I've got a problem with Dimitri.
Oh,
already?
I know where we're going.
You have no idea where we're going. No, you think it's going to be Marine Corps, Navy. No.
I can't wait to hear that.
I mean, let's give the creds. Marine Corps is Department of the Navy. It's the men's department. So I get that. Understand that? No. It's your comment about, I love the Dodgers. I grew up in Northern California. I'm a Giants fan. And you understand, Dusty Baker played for y'all, but he coached us. And he's from Sacramento, which cracks me up.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, baseball's cannibalistic. Dusty also, you know, is the sort of guy that his post-playing career has been as impactful as anything else.
Oh, yeah, it has.
You stick around in baseball long enough, you're going to be...
You're going to be a fan no matter what because you're going to run around. But there's no more hate in the world than... from you guys hating the San Francisco Giants and us hating the L.A. Dodgers.
It's true. That's you a little bit less now.
Hold on. Oh, fist bump, too. Hold on. What about the A's in...
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
They don't even have a real field. The Bash Brothers. No one's worried about
them. Nobody cares.
A's haven't been good since Ricky Henderson and the Bash Brothers were dominating.
Right?
That was probably the last time I really cared about baseball. I was a Ricky Henderson guy. He was my dude because he was a leadoff batter. I was fast, just like him, and always been a big Ricky guy.
My favorite part about that I missed was during the first couple games in the NFL back in the day when they'd still have the baseball diamond on the football field.
Yeah,
and because they used to share the candlestick and the Coliseum for the Raiders, mm-hmm. and you're just like, there's still a baseball field out there.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's happening at the 30-yard line?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Roger Craig goes down on the pitcher's mound. But, yeah, we're sitting here with Demetri Julius. Been a big entrepreneur here in town, philanthropist. Did a lot of great things with Icon. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Icon and what they're doing to impact our community and really the world.
Yeah, so, man, I can't state enough just how amazing that part of my career was because we got a chance to impact so many different things, right? You think about housing and it impacts everyone. Like, we don't know anybody that doesn't need a house, is aspiring to be a first-time homeowner, maybe moving into a larger house, you know, expanding as their family changes. So that piece is huge, right? But there's also the implications of the technology itself. So in all of that, we were able to build and maintain relationships with NASA and do extraterrestrial construction,
which
sounds crazy. But it's like, oh, yeah, this Austin-based company is doing work that's going to be supported on the moon to help humanity make it to Mars, which is like being a part of that. Are you kidding?
That's nuts.
And it's happening right here in Austin, which is huge because everyone is paying attention to what's happening in our city right now, right?
No doubt.
Over the course of the last 10 years, that switch from like hardware-driven organizations like the Dells of the world into this software space. And a lot of teams and groups and companies came in from other places. So being homegrown, you know, we've got, I know this is going to hurt some people on this show, but like two Aggies as our founders, Evan Loomis and Jason Ballard.
Evan Loomis, Shap Pride. He went to Westlake.
He's a local product, you know?
I'm a UC Davis Aggie, so I'm good.
Okay. But just locally homegrown, founded, and focusing on big problems to try to make people's lives better is what the company is all about. So, you know, that part of my career was absolutely amazing. And working with some of the best people I've ever met that really just care about not just humanity, big H humanity, but they care about this community, these people here on the ground, and what's happening. And having a voice in the infrastructure of the city has been big. Partnering with the city of Austin to build the amphitheater in front of the Long Center to make sure that there's an outdoor space that's accessible for people at all different price points is huge. So
beautiful.
The plasticity of this technology that can allow you to build, you know, tiny homes and things that can help people in that environment when you just need to get something up quickly. And then also the beautification is something that we can do like we did with House Zero at South By last year. Yeah. And then the amphitheater this year with the same technology is just gigantic. So, man, just it was a pleasure working with that team. And I'm so proud of the
work. Well, I got connected with you guys really through our involvement, my company, Den Property Group, and Community First Village. And you guys, Icon, had printed the first 3D printed homes out at Community First Village. So the very first person to ever live in a 3D printed home was a gentleman experiencing homelessness from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, a houseless individual from Austin, Texas named Tim Shea. I've gotten to know Tim over the course of the last few years. Just as happy and gregarious as you could possibly imagine and just incredibly thankful. And you see people that you've helped move the needle along in their life in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And you get that in your bones and there's no going back.
Demetri, do a quick explanation for our listeners. Like, How does it work?
Yeah, so a large-scale robot, we build it. So first of all, think Apple. We do everything. We do the hardware. We do the software. We do the material science. Like, it's all in-house. Mm-hmm. So you get a consistent product. So we build these big robots. They flat pack. Think about like a transformer.
Right.
It can fit in a shipping container. It can be built by a team in approximately an hour or so. It shows up on site. So you've got the robot itself, and then you've got a separate component called a material delivery system. So Vulcan and Magma, they combine together to allow you to mix concrete on site. So we're not talking about prefab, on the space where the house is going to live. And then you print it layer by layer.
So do you have concrete trucks backing up?
Not at all. So we do small batch construction. And the reason that you do small instead of the big concrete trucks is so you can print to the drop and then you stop. And that's not just cool because it rhymes. It means that you don't have to waste any additional material. So it's pretty awesome because
we're no wasting material. Get out of here.
And like
that is awesome.
And if you've ever seen one of the houses, they've got this design. It looks just like beads.
Yeah.
You know, one after the, and that's what it is. It's literally the machine that's just laying out the lavacrete because that's the proprietary concoction.
Yes, sir.
That it's not concrete; it's lavacrete
material. And like the R
that
value
is so cool.
The R value in that is amazing too.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of things that you get for free with cementitious material, which is cool. So it's naturally flame retardant, right? Like it's naturally fire resistant. It's naturally mold resistant. Hydrophobic, so you know it wicks water away naturally.
Johnny's
so
hydrophobic too.
He prefers whiskey over water. But no, so it gives you a lot of things for free. So we talk about layering in cost savings. It's not just the savings on additional material costs. It's not just the speed of construction. Now it's like, hey, I don't have to pay for a moisture barrier. Hey, I don't have to pay for all these other things that go into the house. Now you're really starting to make an impact at scale. One house, that's impactful. 10 houses, even better. 1,000 houses, now we're cooking with gas. And so just the layered on impact of something like that has tremendous outreach. And we believe that it's impactful on every neighborhood in the country.
Now, can you go 2 stories, 3 stories? How tall can you go on this stuff?
Yeah, so basically the formula that the company utilizes, like, you know, the biggest impact, the beachhead market is going to be single family housing between about 1,700 and 2,000 square feet. Right, that's what the vast majority of people in this country live in.
Sure.
So it's important for us to build things that are necessary, not just build things because they're cool. So we're going to let high-rise construction be high-rise construction.
Sure.
We're not competing in that space. Single family space is what we're interested in. So you can get almost all of that square footage in a single story house. But obviously, people have different needs and different families are built in different ways. So the desire to go up to 2-story is something that's incredibly impactful to the company, and they're actually working on that.
Interesting. Right.
So, yeah, no, it's huge.
Man,
it's huge.
How cool.
Right here in Austin.
Oh, I know. I've been known to Dimitri for almost 3 years.
Austin Elmo.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, it's the company's doing amazing things. It's giving back to humanity, and it's just cool product. Like, when you go and you see it, you're like, oh, this was 3D printed? Like, this concrete structure? Like, last week for South By, when I went over to the Long Center, mm-hmm. and got to see it for the first time. I mean, you're sitting there watching a great show in this beautiful amphitheater, and right behind it is the Austin skyline. Like, there's nothing like it.
The most impressive part for me is the speed of construction. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you know, stick framing, waiting for this subcontractor, it's all in one, basically.
Right, yeah. So the time of construction, and we don't have to get into specifics, but typically imagine, like, from conceptualizing, hey, I want to buy this lot, to fully finished home, approximately, on average, is about a year.
Yeah.
To, like, hand a customer keys, they walk into their new home. And there's so many different pieces that elongate that have nothing to do with the actual construction process. Change orders, I got to talk to my contractor, they got to talk to the architect, they got to talk to the designer, they got to talk to the city. Oh, the city didn't like this, now I go back to don't collect $200. And so there are ways to start to impact all of these different areas. And you think about, like, the digital design nature of the file. Now it can go out to everyone. A change order can go out to everyone. Everyone can see it at the same time. I can build it so the city inspector can come out and knows exactly what he's looking at and where
but
to find
that's
it.
That's the funny part. Did you guys have to help train the city inspectors? Because they weren't dealing with this before. This is a brand new technology.
So we love the city of Austin. And just like any new product, you got to be your own evangelist, right? You've got to teach people how to interact with the thing that you do so they understand it. What we understood was going fast meant an educational process. When you say to the world, hey, I've got something new and it's better, I promise, you got to stand by that. You got to showcase to people. That's the biggest project that most families are going to get involved
right.
in.
Right, no doubt.
And so you got there's some ownership there. So we partnered with the city to make sure that they understood what they were looking at, and it's been gangbusters. And the product, the proof of that is the Long Center project, where people said, okay, we understand it. We've now inspected it a couple of times. We really appreciate it, and we want to work together on something. So that was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Brooke Bogus, by the way, and Kara Calkins, who made that thing happen.
Oh, they're
amazing. There's a lot of work that goes into making sure that those sorts of projects can get done.
So let me ask you this, and maybe you don't know this, or who knows what it's going to look like, but in 20 years, what does ICON, you think, kind of look like? Are people going to start buying the printers and doing them themselves? Like, could I be an entrepreneur that goes out, buys a printer from ICON, and then I go out and start printing homes?
We think that the future of all construction is automated, not just ICON's technology. I think robots and drones are the future to catch up, right? Like, every year, there is a huge deficit in housing stock everywhere in the world. We're not just talking about Austin. We're not just talking about Texas. Every major epicenter that people want to live in don't have enough houses built to make the costs competitive. So I think 20 years from now, we're talking about a whole host of companies that are thinking about this construction methodology and many others to try to really drive down the cost of housing and create more housing stock in a way that's
going to be. We need affordable housing, not just in Austin, but everywhere.
Every price point is impacted, but affordable housing is the one that I care most deeply about. I'm from South Central Los Angeles, right? Like, the thing that had the biggest impact on the community that I'm from is that crabs in the bucket mentality. No one owned anything, and so everyone's fighting over everything all the time. You start giving people agency. You start affording people the opportunity to build their lives generationally from a home, which is the cornerstone of American wealth. Then you can start to branch out into other things, and it's not always survival mode. So for me, my involvement in that project and all the others that I'm involved in here in this city that I love is about changing outcomes for people at the most basis, and that starts at home.
And I'm sure you guys looked at it. I mean, and you know this with, to building a FOB is crazy, especially in a war zone. Have you guys...
Forward operating base for those out there.
Yeah, I was like, sorry. Wait, are we talking about the FOB that I used?
I knew that.
He's like, I'm on it.
He's up, he's giving himself brownie points. Yeah. Hey. No, but I mean, the fact that you got to go and build, so I'm sure you guys talked to DOD and they've shown any interest in it.
Department of Defense is Defense Innovation Unit is right here in Austin, Texas. They've got a presence. They work with Capital Factory. There's a lot of really interesting things that are happening on the defense side. And I think maybe your average American isn't fully aware of, like, the different technological advancements necessary for, like, third-gen war fighting. Like, what's happening out there is kind of crazy. We're not fighting in trenches anymore. And so you really need to be thinking about ways to impact your near-peer enemy. And so the ability to construct things quickly, safely, where you don't have to deploy full teams of people out away from safety is a tremendous advantage.
It's amazing.
And again, being able to build whatever you need at a moment's notice is super helpful. So if it's vehicle barriers, if it's shelters, if it's FOBs, if it's field hospitals because you're trying to help people, if it's schools because you're trying to create infrastructure, these machines have the capability to do all of those things. And so those conversations are ongoing. And we feel pretty great about our partnership. So we've worked with the United States Marine Corps, which I was very proud of. We built some things out in Camp Pendleton, which was crazy to see on the civilian side.
Nice.
And just watching what the company of ICON is doing since I joined it and now after exiting it, I'm just incredibly proud. It might be the coolest job I ever had.
It's awesome.
And I'm all right with that.
That's awesome. Well, hey, let's pick that. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but I want to pick this back up on after the break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn.
One, two, one,
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate, a beautiful Saturday morning here in the capital city. We're live, we're local, and we're digital. Thank you for listening on the Horn app or on hornfm.com. Give us a shout, 512-447-3776, or text at 512-337-3776. Johnny Rogers, Ben Buckman.
Say pods.
Jamie Frazier's in the house.
What's up?
Demetri Julius in the house.
Let's get it.
TikTok Ty in the box. Always good to see you, Ty. Ty, you're looking great this morning. You got some fresh eyes, and he looks
awake.
He's awake.
He's
feeling good.
He's a legend.
And we got Casey Studdard, who was with us earlier. He had to take off, go down to Whitfield's Barbecue. If you're looking for some of Central Texas's best barbecue, go down to the corner of Davis and Brody. See our main man, Casey Studdard. Great ribs, great brisket, the best banana pudding you've ever had in your life.
Get out there early. I'm going to buy everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will run out of food now. So make sure you're getting there early. A lot of stuff going on here this weekend in sports. You have the NCAA basketball tournament still going on. Texas Longhorns with a big dub last night.
Huge. Historic.
Huge.
And are on the cusp of making their second ever Final Four appearance. And the Final Four is what? Houston?
Houston.
Hell yeah.
Book those flights, baby.
Hell yeah.
It's going down. Miami's no slouch. No disrespect to the team in front of us. And Coach Terry's going to have those boys locked in. But we get this one done. There's not a whole lot standing in the way.
No.
You know what I mean?
Do we think D'Souza's going to come back tomorrow night?
Did anybody see the report? He was in the boot. It looked like he was moving around. He was dancing in the locker room. So yeah. if it didn't look that bad, but you never know with these sorts of things, right?
Yeah, we were talking about a little bit earlier. That's one of those you just say, "Hey, Doc, I need that shot going in right into the ankle."
I think varsity blues every time.
Yeah, that needle goes anywhere near his knee. I will beat you up. Was that Billy Bob?
I believe he said, "I'll rip both your arms off and beat you with them."
Old Billy Bob. Probably one of the greatest classic movies, right?
It's up there.
I love it.
No, it's up there. Days of Confused.
Well, yeah, Days of Confused is up there, totally but different. As far as like Texas high school football,
that's true.
It's up there with Friday Night Lights for sure.
For sure. I actually like it more than Friday Night Lights. It's a little bit more funny to me.
Yeah.
Miss Davis, would you go to prom with me?
Out
at the Landing Strip, one of Jamie Frazier's favorite places.
That's a four-minute walk for
him. It's a four-minute walk for Jamie Frazier.
Skylark Lounge is my favorite place.
Oh, you're a Skylark guy.
Yeah.
I like that spot.
Best Blues Dive Bar in Austin, Texas. Hey, right there off the airport.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Better than Elephant Room?
Yep.
That was a quick yes.
That was a hard, fast yes.
You ain't been there, you ain't been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, really quick before we move on, Earl Thomas is who owns Kicking It Up North.
Oh, cool.
Didn't want to credit the wrong. Texas Tech didn't want the.
Is this the Nick Sunderman deal that's going on in South Congress?
I'm not sure if Nick's involved. I know Kenny kind of pulled this thing together pretty fast. That cap table is nice and tight, but that thing's going in like 2 weeks. So you got to come check us out right between Pearl and Bajor.
Is that cap table still open? Come on, Demetrius.
No, it is not.
I need to slide in on that.
Man, you've got so much deal flow. Stop it. Stop it. This guy looking for another
now,
deal.
Now, you guys are
always looking for a deal.
Demetrius, are you West Coast, you San Diego fan at all?
No. Okay. No. I narrowed it down. Like you said, my Dodgers always live in my heart. Okay. My grandfather was a Negro Leagues player, so like baseball is in my – I'm a senior.
Were you a UCLA guy, USC, any of those?
No, I'm telling you, I've made the – like, okay. It was Ivan Drago. They were dead to me. Like, I just – when I came to Texas, I took the red pill, and we got to going.
Took that burnt orange pill.
Took it. And we're outside. You know, I support these teams, and it's not just football. I'm out there supporting the baseball team, swim and dive – track, Texas relay, like I'm in it.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
I am. Oh, all the gosh. Pain. I was raised a Cowboys fan. My dad's from Louisiana, and he was like, "We're not cheering for the Saints." So I was raised on the Cowboys.
Not a big Archie Manning.
So we love the Manning family, right? Yeah. Right. That's all love.
No doubt.
But at that time, you know what was going on with that team?
Oh yeah, they were the Aints
in the '80s and early '90s. That was a tough pill. Meanwhile, the Cowboys were on top of the football universe. So I watched them win a lot when I was little. And that was that.
How do you feel about Zeke Elliott stepping away from the Cowboys? That had to have been hard on Jerry.
Sad to lose Zeke. I mean, obviously, he's the sort of player that, you know, he's had his ups and downs, but on the field, he gave you what he gave you.
Right.
That Jerry's got a history of overpaying running backs. I think we made the right decision on this one.
I do, too.
And it creeps the door open for potentially Bijan to land in Dallas, which would be platonic ideal
That'd
for
be
everyone. So, you know, we're watching closely. But, you know, I loved Zeke. I hope. The rest of his football career is awesome.
I think he's going to end up with the Jets. Can you imagine him with the
Bengals?
Aaron? Do you think Bengals?
He's going to replace Samaje Perine.
Ooh. Samaje Perine.
What if the Eagles just picked him up just to rub it in the Cowboys' face?
It's on his list.
They just didn't. Who didn't they just pick up Rashad Penny?
Yeah, but that dude plays like a game and breaks his leg every year.
Correct. Never pick that guy up in fantasy.
No.
You'll never play him.
You'll cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Zeke ends up on the Eagles, I mean.
It's going to be painful.
That would be hard to watch two times a year.
Watch Zeke walk away with a Super Bowl, with a Lombardi in in Philly, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
We already witnessed that with DeMarco Murray leaving the Cowboys to go to the Eagles. It didn't work out too well for him.
Yeah, so. I just think if they use him in a role like they do Jamal Williams in like the Lions, just fourth down guy, red zone guy. You can extend his career for a while, and he's good. He's a good short yardage guy.
Short yardage back. He pass protects well. Yeah. He deserves to be in there on third down. We'll see what he's got left in the tank. But it was the right move for the Cowboys to step away.
How do you feel about the Longhorn football team going into the going into next year?
Man, I'm excited. I mean, we're always excited around here on the 40. But man, I've had an opportunity to be really close to things this year. I mean, I was obviously out at our pro day a couple of weeks ago. I've seen these guys in early spring. The buzz around the quarterback position is crazy. And if that quarterback room is as active as we believe it to be, man, it's going to be exciting. Because all the position, the skill players look great.
Yeah.
We got some older guys out on the edges. This feels like a year. We don't have to scream from the rooftops, Texas is back. I think these boys are going to punch the people in the mouth.
Yeah, Archie's only lost two ID cards.
Just two?
Just two. That's it. He's good. It's all right.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's got to be having a great time.
Oh, man. 17 years old, rolling.
That locker room, I mean, that quarterback room, when you got Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, Malik Murphy,
mm-hmm.
and then Chaz Wright, a local product here from Austin
High.
Chaz. Same thing.
You big Charles Wright guy?
Yeah, he's a local kid. You got to support the local kids. He's an Austin High kid.
Loyal forever.
Loyal to an extent, I think is the name of their slogan at Austin High. Loyal to an extent.
You know what? That's a true statement.
But you know, does
Chaz come from Blades of Glory? Is that what it was? Yeah. Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I get the question all the time, hey, what do you think Arch is going to do his freshman year? I think he's going to sit on the bench and watch Quinn Ewers play football.
Well, and this is what I love about the new redshirt rules. You're going to get a chance to put this guy in, four or five games?
Four games. You can play four games.
So, yeah, I don't have any expectation that he's going to have any outsized impact, but he's ready to go, and we're going to see what he can do. Quinn Ewers should be the guy, right? Should be. By all football metrics, he should be our guy. And then you got a lot of steel sharpening steel in that room. This team should be good.
God, steel sharpening steel. That's some good stuff right there.
Xavier Worthy hopefully is healed and can finally start catching the ball again.
He's
Ben's favorite player.
You know what? Hype a guy up if he's good, but I never saw anything.
He had a broken hand last year, Ben. Give him something.
And then put him.
He dropped a bunch of balls the year before with a healthy hand.
Thank you, Ty. Over the top.
Jonte Cook should come in and give him some competition this year and be a feature wide receiver in that crew.
I just miss a great wide receiving crew from University of Texas. I mean, having two.
Lavelle Pinkney, Mike Adams, great combo back
Roy
in the day.
Roy Williams. Roy
Sloan and BJ.
Romance
and Ship.
Tough. Dimitri, this happened way too quickly. We need to get you back on again.
I love it. This is fun. Shout out to the Longhorns. We got this, baby.
Let's go. Rodney Terry.
RT. Good luck to RT. Good luck to Longhorn, Ogden, the whole crew.
Let's go.
We'll be cheering for you. Rodney Terry, greatest basketball coach in the history of the University of Texas.
Here we
start it here first.
Hot takes.
We'll catch you guys next week. Adios.